Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, June 6th, 2025. We'll start today's reading on the front page, Logan County, Starstruck by a Childhood Icon. Fans flock to meet voice of Scooby-Doo and others. This is from Lincoln. When a celebrity makes a personal appearance, everyone wants a photo with them. But the reverse was true for Scott Innes, the voice of Scooby-Doo, Shaggy, Popeye, and a number of other iconic cartoon characters during a visit to Central Illinois this week. The man who brought the well-known Hanna-Barbera characters to life for millions wanted a photo with young Zagan Hurt, who was wearing a Scooby-Doo costume. Zagan's little brother Casey, named for Casey Kasem, the original voice of Shaggy in the cartoons, and their parents, Michaela Meadows and Bodie Hurt, were happy to comply. Innes visited Primary Collectibles for Lincoln on Wednesday to sign autographs, pose for pictures, sell merchandise, and meet more than 150 fans who showed up. And the photos here, there's a story on page 5, but the photos here, the large one on the front page shows Scott Innes, the voice of Scooby-Doo, Shaggy, and other cartoon characters, takes a selfie with Joshua and Ryan Brown carrying Sienna and Ivy during the appearance at Primary Collectibles in Lincoln on Wednesday. And Scott Innes is an interesting-looking guy. He's got a Cajun Country t-shirt on with a character on it and a little straw hat, and he's holding the phone up to take a photo with Joshua and Ryan Brown. And then a smaller photo shows Michaela Meadows, Bodie Hurt, and their children, Zagan, shown as Scooby-Doo in a Scooby-Doo costume, and Casey, who was named for Shaggy's original voice, Casey Kasem, and they pose for a photo for voice actor Scott Innes, who made a personal appearance at Primary Collectibles in Lincoln on Wednesday. And there's paraphernalia set out on this table, and little Scooby-Doo plushies and hats, and the van that the Scooby-Doo characters rode in, and Shaggy, picture of Shaggy. The turnout surprised shop owner Mickey Tate, who had no idea so many people would come. "Last time I had a celebrity guest, there were 8 or 9 people," Tate said. "I put on conventions for Midwest Comic Fest, and I've been trying to get Scott to come to one of the shows. Innes has a busy schedule, though, and coordinating with the conventions hasn't worked out," Tate said. But Innes was making appearances in the area and had a free day and was able to fit in the visit at the store. Tate is a Scooby-Doo fan himself and had met Innes at a Peoria convention a couple of months ago. Caleb Womack of Monticello, dressed as Shaggy from the live-action movies, loves Scooby-Doo and can do voices pretty convincingly himself. "I've been watching the series since I was a little child," he said. "I love doing voices. It's awesome. My love of Scooby-Doo stems from watching it as a young child. But when I watched the live-action one, it was pretty scary because Scrappy was the villain. It was pretty scary for me because I was just a little child," he said. Bodie Hurd has also loved Scooby-Doo since he was a child, including the games and collectibles, and when the kids came along, he introduced them to it, too. "I got my kiddos into it as soon as they were born," he said as a chuckle. "The family lives in Peoria, but the drive was worth it to meet Innes," they said. Excuse me. Innes lives in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where he has his own radio show. He interviewed a lot of stars on that radio show, and Don Messick, the original voice of Scooby, loved the show. When Messick died, Innes, who's been doing voice impersonation since he was a teen and did some on his radio show, was asked to audition. I got the voice of Scooby in 1997 on Zombie Island, and it was a dream come true, Inna said. I gotta pinch myself. We did Zombie Island, and one of the producers heard me do Shaggy. That's a Casey Kasem Shaggy. And I ended up doing Shaggy and Scooby and Scrappy. Innes often gets called when classic Hanna-Barbera characters need to be voiced, and when he records, he said he acts the part as well as doing the voice. He quipped that Messick left some big paws to fill. You've got to become the character, he said. You should see me when I do these characters. When you're doing Scooby, the jowls drop. You step into that. Caitlin Justiniano was so excited to meet Innes that she could hardly stand still waiting in line. I'm starstruck, she said after her time with him. It's my first time meeting a voice actor. And there are more photos here on page A5. And the largest one here shows Evelyn Young of Springfield emotionally meeting Scott Innes during an appearance at Primary Collectibles in Lincoln on Wednesday. He was my escape, Young said, of growing up watching Scooby-Doo. And as you can see, there's the shop that this was held in. There's bobblehead characters on shelves in the background and other people in the background. So it was a big turnout for this event. And then another photo with many people in it shows Scott Innes, the voice of Scooby-Doo, Shaggy, and other cartoon characters, adds collectibles and merchandise to his table through the crowd. And there is a big crowd there. And you can see Mr. Innes going through the crowd with a box of Scooby-Doo collectible to stack on it. And then another smaller picture shows the Scooby Gang's mystery machine, or at least a replica of it, waits outside Primary Collectibles while the voice actor Scott Innes met fans inside. And it's painted just like the mystery machine in the cartoons, and says in kind of psychedelic letters, the mystery machine, and green and blue, and flowers on the side. And then another picture shows Caitlin Justiniano said she was starstruck after meeting the voice actor, Scott Innes, in Lincoln on Wednesday, and it's a picture of the two of them. And he's also, Scott Innes is taking a picture of himself and Caitlin in the shop where they held the meet and greet. Also on the front page, Pritzker won some, lost some. This is State House News. Ambitious policy plans see mixed result. This is from the Chicago Tribune. Entering a legislative session amid questions about whether he'd run for a third term, Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker outlined an ambitious agenda that ended with mixed results. In a State of the State and Budget address in February, that will be remembered mainly for Pritzker invoking Nazi Germany to describe the new presidential administration, there was also a litany of policy initiatives, some of which passed and will now have a tangible impact on Illinoisans and others that went nowhere in the spring legislative session that just wrapped up. You don't get everything done in 1 year. I think the Senate president can back me up on that, and lots of people in the General Assembly, Pritzker said Sunday at his end-of-the-session news conference in Springfield, flanked by Senate President Don Harmon of Oak Park. Sometimes they spend 2 years, 4 years, 6 years trying to get something big done. I think we've been hyper-successful about getting things done in a shorter period of time than expected, he said. But Pritzker's mixed scorecard also revealed tensions between his agenda and those in the legislative Black Caucus. More than once, Black Caucus members balked at Pritzker's plans as they didn't see their wants and needs fully addressed during a legislative session that focused heavily on fiscal issues and a tight budget. Indeed, while the governor's backing puts political capital behind any policy proposal, that didn't mean it was guaranteed to pass through the sometimes splintered Democratic supermajorities in the State House and Senate. Here are some examples of where the governor accomplished what he set out to do, and a few places where he came up short. Education, what Pritzker said. This session, I'll move forward with legislation requiring all school districts in Illinois to adopt a cell phone policy that bans the use of cell phones during classroom instruction. More focus on learning will bring even greater success for kids across our state. Status, it did not pass. A coalition of Illinois House lawmakers blocked the measure when it came to the House late in the session over concerns about unequal disciplinary impacts, according to bill sponsor Democratic State Representative Michelle Mussman of Schaumburg. Concerns about enforcement disproportionately affecting black and brown students became more pronounced as lawmakers reviewed the phone restriction alongside another bill limiting police from ticketing students for minor misbehavior, according to Mussman. Legislators were hesitant to pass a statewide school mandate while also debating a measure meant to scale back school discipline practices, she said. Representative Curtis Tarver, a Chicago Democrat and member of the Black Caucus, told the Tribune in February he worried about the unintended consequences of a phone ban, including inequitable enforcement. The legislation against ticketing and fines passed both chambers and now heads to Pritzker's desk for his signature. A Chicago Tribune and ProPublica investigation found school districts used local law enforcement to fine students, and black students were twice as likely to be ticketed at school as their white peers, a pattern lawmakers aimed to end. The measure would have required school districts to adopt guidelines prohibiting students from using wireless devices, such as cell phones and smart watches, during instructional time, while providing secure and accessible storage for the devices before the 2026-2027 school year. The legislation also included a few exceptions, such as permitting students to use phones in emergencies. Also, not quite making the mark, Pritzker's push to expand so-called evidence-based funding for K through 12 schools by $350 million. The final plan would boost funding by $307 million, cutting $43 million that usually would go to a grant program designed to help school districts with high property tax rates and low real estate values. What Pritzker said, I'm proposing that we allow community colleges to offer four-year baccalaureate degrees for in-demand career paths like nursing, advanced manufacturing, early childhood education, and beyond. And I propose we pass the Public University Direct Admission Program Act, introduced by Majority Leader Kimberly Lightfoot last year. It would allow students to know before they apply whether they qualify for admission to any or all of our state public universities. Status, one for two. The Pritzker-led initiative to let community colleges offer four-year degrees didn't make it to the finish line, even after the sponsor, Democratic Representative Tracy Katz, Moole of Northbrook, filed a significant amendment following months of negotiations. The bill was intended to create more paths for students to get affordable, accessible bachelor's degrees in areas that need more workers. However, it initially faced opposition from existing four-year schools that warned it could duplicate degree offerings. Toward the end of the session, Tarver told a Senate committee that the Black Caucus had significant issues with the bill, including how it would affect four-year institutions serving a high proportion of black and minority students, such as Chicago State University. A proposal on direct university admissions, however, passed, meaning high school students and eligible community college students, starting in the 2027-2028 school year, will automatically be offered admission to public universities if they meet specific GPA standards. In more state news on page A2, baby food safety, public defender bills headed to Pritzker's desk. Springfield. Governor J.B. Pritzker will have hundreds of bills to review after lawmakers concluded their spring session, including measures protecting press freedoms and baby food, as well as creating a state public defender's office. Lawmakers voted along party lines Saturday to pass House Bill 3363, which would create the Office of State Public Defender that would primarily be responsible for providing public defender offices around the state with more resources. It also reforms how public defenders would be appointed by requiring a local nominating committee to appoint or remove public defenders, which is designed to give the public defenders more independence from the judiciary. Every Illinoisan deserves a strong defense, no matter their income. Bill sponsor set Senator Representative Peters, Democrat of Chicago, Robert Peters, Democrat of Chicago, said in a statement. In stating this new system would ensure real help reaches people who've been left behind in conversations about criminal justice reform for far too long. Public defender offices throughout the state have been starved for resources, which some defense attorneys at public defender offices, handling hundreds of cases at a time, supporters of the legislation say the main goal of the office, at least initially, will be to provide more comprehensive state resources to public defender offices, which now are typically subject to the limitations of county budgets. Limited data shows all Illinois counties need more public defenders, according to an analysis of county public defender budgets compiled by Northwestern University. No Illinois counties have sufficient staffing in public defender offices. State lawmakers appropriated $10 million for county public defense services in the fiscal year 26 budget and have appropriated as much each year since 2023. If signed by the governor, Peters' legislation won't fully take effect until 2027. Safer baby food. Lawmakers in both chambers unanimously passed Senate Bill 73, which bans the sale and distribution of baby food in Illinois that contains levels of toxic elements, including arsenic, cadmium, lead, or mercury, that surpasses the limits set by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. The bill now only needs a signature from the governor to become law. Under SB 73, any manufacturer selling baby food in Illinois would be required to test a sample of their product monthly to ensure that the level of toxic elements contained in the product fall in line with the limits set by the FDA. The bill also gives the Illinois Department of Public Health the right to request and review manufacturers' testing results and requires manufacturers to publish the levels of each toxic element in each of their products on the manufacturer's website. Manufacturers who sell products in Illinois would also have to print a QR code on the label of any baby food that contains toxic elements that are limited by the FDA. The QR would be required to direct consumers to the product's testing information and FDA guidelines on the health effects of the toxic element on children. The bill comes after a study published in 2019 by Healthy Babies Bright Futures, which found that 95% of 168 baby foods tested for toxic elements contained one or more contaminants. One in four of the baby foods tested in the study contained all four elements, with arsenic being found in 73% of the baby foods tested and lead in 94% of the products. The study gained public traction after its publication, resulting in the creation and implementation of Closer to Zero, an FDA initiative that aims to reduce the percentage of toxic metals found in baby food to zero. If signed by the governor, the bill would take effect on January 1, 2026. Also on page A2, courts, investigation into images leads to charges. Judge denies pretrial release for Decatur man. A Decatur man who reportedly told police that he used artificial intelligence to create pornographic pictures of celebrities is now charged with possession of images of child sexual abuse. Kevin E. Horv, 45, was arrested Tuesday after Decatur Police Department officers raided his home on East Green Hill Road with a search warrant. A sworn affidavit said detectives had been tipped off that Horv was uploading pictures of girls under the age of 13 in sexual poses. The tip came from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, which had been alerted by Microsoft, and police said that they later found 84 images showing the sexual abuse of children. It was during police questioning that Horv started talking about his experimentations with generative AI programs, along with positive and negative embeddings to tell the program what you want it to produce, according to the affidavit signed by the officer Timothy Wisniewski. Kevin stated he used this program for a couple of months until he received a warning from Microsoft stating the content he created depicted people who were too young, added Wisniewski. Asked if the images were sexual, Horv reportedly responded, "Well, yeah, obviously," explained that he was trying to recreate images of celebrities, the affidavit said. How this ties to Horv's alleged possession of pornographic images of actual children wasn't made clear in the affidavit, but Wisniewski said in a search of files found on a computer seized in Horv's home yielded another 3 files showing the rape of a girl under the age of 13. Horv was arraigned Wednesday on 3 charges of possession of child pornography, and he was denied pretrial release by Judge Lindsay Shelton on the grounds he posed too much of a threat to the public. The defendant is due back in court June 18th for a preliminary hearing when he will enter a plea to the charges. In more local and state news on page A3, family-friendly energy. LOCO Nutrition offers a lot of healthy nutrition. Lincoln. Melissa and Dan Welker, originally from the El Paso and Sterling-Dixon areas, took over LOCO Nutrition at 622 North Chicago Street in Lincoln this past February. Jenna Garrett first opened the shop in July 2024, and the Welkers worked with her until they became the new owners. The name LOCO is in reference to the shop being in Logan County. All items sold in the shop include products from Herbalife, a company that sells meal replacements, shakes, protein bars, teas, aloe, supplements, and personal care items. LOCO offers a variety of customizable protein coffees and teas, lit tea with caffeine, boba, donuts, healthy shakes, greens and organic blends, caffeine-free options, a kids' corner menu, and boosters for any drink. Almost any drink can be made with or without caffeine, and each drink comes with a unique sticker on the cup. Garrett still has a shop in Clinton called Jumpstart Nutrition. Sister shops include Arrowhead Nutrition in Mackinac, owned by Chloe Morlock, Sage Nutrition and Energy in Monticello, owned by Riley Brown, The Sip Shack in Bloomington opened May 7th and is owned by Melissa Duncan, and Charged in Leroy, which Garrett opened on June 1st. It's a lot of healthy nutrition drinks, shakes, teas, supplements, skincare, bakery items, digestion. There's more to it than just drinks, Melissa Welker said. Our business is geared for the entire family. It's sugar-free. All the products are safe. We have a dye-free option also, and there's a vegan line. Gluten-free and greens. It is literally for everyone, and it tastes amazing. One of the most popular items is the Cream Saver, a protein tea made with pink starburst, strawberry, and vanilla flavoring, and 12 grams of protein. Another favorite, the Spring Refresher, is made with peach mango and 15 grams of protein plus collagen. The business also offers special menus from time to time, like Girl Scout cookie-inspired shakes in May, holiday menus for Memorial Day, Veterans Day, Easter, St. Patrick's Day, and Christmas, and even back-to-school menus. Loco just launched a summertime sippin' menu that includes four specialty lit teas, a green booster tea, and a creamy protein tea. Flavors include the Skinny Dippin', Summer Sky, Malibu Greens, Mexican Lollipop, some beach and heat wave teas, the Nutella Time, Key Lime Pie, Mango Pineapple, and S'mores Coffee Float Shakes, and the Raspberry Colada, Island of Ice, and Beachside Bliss Meal Replacement Shakes. It is energy, but it is clean energy, so you don't have to that crash at the end of the day like you would from a regular energy drink, but can also leave it out a caffeine, especially with the kids, Dan Welker said. The back-to-school menu, that one's the bomb. I think that's my favorite. I think everybody loves the back-to-school menu. Local delivery is available from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday. Customers can call or text the business at 217-871-5015. Again, 217-871-5015 to schedule a delivery or pickup order. Again, that's 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday. The Welkers described the shop as having family-friendly energy, adding that all of their customers are nice and they've enjoyed getting to know people in the community. Not only the products that they're getting, but the consistency of the people that we've gotten to know. A lot of people. We can pretty much tell you when they pull in what they're getting before they get out of the car, Melissa Welker said. It's the connection, because I'm here 6 days a week, and so I have a lot of the same people every day. They will come in before work, and they'll sit and chit-chat, and then they'll go to work, and it's just a very chill place during the day, she said. And the photos here the large one shows Melinda Welker on the left side of the picture and her daughter, Colleen Welker, working on orders on May 29th at Loco Nutrition at 622 North Chicago Street in Lincoln. And they've got cups and containers that they're filling with different ingredients. And then there's a person in the background waiting on a customer on the side, and then we see up on the wall is the lighted menu of all kinds of goodies, and then a inset is the Loco Nutrition is on the outside of the window at 622 North Chicago Street in Lincoln. It offers a variety of customizable protein shakes, protein coffees, teas, and teas, boba, donuts, healthy shakes, greens, and organic blends, caffeine-free options, and a kids' corner menu, and boosters for any drink. And so it's got the orange logo, LOCO Nutrition, written on the window, and a sandwich board sign outside. And then an inset picture, a small picture, is inside and shows Loco Nutrition. Again, 622 North Chicago Street in Lincoln is one of several sister stores selling healthy shakes, teas, and more in central Illinois. And if you go, I think you've got it now, Loco Nutrition, 622 North Chicago Street, Lincoln, hours 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. The phone is 217-871-5015, and you can catch them on the website Loco Nutrition Lincoln. That's all we have time for the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, June 6, 2025. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.